I don't have to lock. I don't have to search on this to lock it in.
Oh, it's nice.
Locked in. We're locked in. Right,
locked
now.
In. Right.
And we're gonna. The fade isn't as gradual as much. I'm gonna fade it right now. It's not as gradual. It's like dunk, and the music goes away.
I missed
oh,
that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you see how quick that? Yes, there's like dunk.
So do you want to tell the listeners
not
that you're using
much
you?
Much of a segue there.
Yeah, we'll get into it right now. It's Gloucester Cast 2:15. We got Jimmy.
3:15.
That's oh Jesus, 3:15. That's right. Thank you, Pat. Listen, take it easy on me today. I'm recovering from my colonoscopy and
the flu.
And the flu, yeah. The flu, which I think is related to my immune system being completely fucking shot.
When it, I'm sure you're right.
When it comes out both ends, Joey, that's tough.
Huh?
When it comes out both ends, that's tough. So I hear you.
It was not a good day. GloucesterCast 3:15. Jimmy and Pat Dal Piazza with me.
Happy New Year.
Happy
good
New
morning,
Year. Good morning.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Kim is with us. And I'm your host, Joey Shimotaro. Recovering, so excuse my horrible nasally voice today. But we're happy to be.
Does it sound like Humphrey Bogart-ish or something?
Is it terrible?
No, it's not terrible.
No, it's not terrible. We're recording on new software. I recorded with Chris and Ralph. Chris and Ralph were over yesterday, so I recorded with them and it didn't record, but now I think I have it figured out. They're going to be so mad at me. They don't know yet. Chris might know, but
Chris knows now.
Uh-oh.
But yeah. Thank you, Pat, for bringing me a sesame bagel
You're
from Cape Ann Coffee.
Yeah, they're so nice there.
Aren't they nice?
Yeah, and there's such a nice variety of stuff.
Yeah. Have you tried their oatmeal cookies?
No.
They're homemade, and they're like, they're the thin,
they're huge,
flat.
I saw that.
They're thin, flat, and crispy. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about talking Jim into going back for lunch, because they had a Reuben wrap that looked really good, so.
Wow. I'm super hungry. I eat breakfast at like 4:30, and I just had porridge.
Half your day is over.
Right.
How's it go? Peas, porridge, hot. Peas, porridge, cold. Peas, porridge,
in the pot. Nine days old.
And what is that in reference to?
I don't know.
It must be very old.
No,
I don't know.
Nine-day-old porridge doesn't sound very appealing.
Isn't it rock, paper, scissors, same thing?
Doesn't sound very appealing at all.
You know what? I've learned a trick with porridge, because it takes like 25 minutes to cook. Yeah. So you can cook up a whole batch and then just put it in the refrigerator, and it kind of congeals. And then you can cut it off into like little wedges and just heat it up in the morning for a super fast.
And how would you reheat it? What would you use?
Just a tiny bit of water
in the pan. In the mic or in the pan?
In the pan. Takes like 1 second, and then put all the fun stuff on it.
There you go.
It's really healthy. It's much healthier than just steel cut oats are much healthier than regular oatmeal. Than rolled oats. Because the whole grain is there. Mm-hmm. And
that's how we start the year off with the podcast. With a healthy...
a healthy breakfast.
Yes. I'm pouring.
Steel cut oats.
Healthy. My sister Felicia turned 50.
Happy birthday. Yeah. Looked like it was quite the celebration. How wonderful.
So Christmas was coming, and I didn't have presents for my niece and nephew, my whole family basically had it. I had my kids done, but that was it. And I figured, I'm at this thing where it's experiences over material things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the last couple of years, I've been getting like the tickets for games when it comes to the holidays and bringing everybody.
That's a good idea.
So this year I know Felicia wanted to go into Boston to celebrate her birthday. And I picked up rooms for my family. One room for my mom, mm-hmm. one room for Kate and I, one room for BJ and Amanda, and one room for Felicia and Barry. And it was a great deal. Stayed at the Intercontinental, gorgeous. Right across. Do you remember the time? Did I talk to you guys about the Envoy Hotel?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did.
So the Envoy Hotel has now, they have a roof deck that overlooks, like, it really overlooks the Boston Tea Party. Like in the channel Northern Ave.
Mm-hmm.
And they have igloos on the roof deck now. because it's so cold out.
That sounds so wonderful.
Like, but the igloos are transparent, like made out of plastic, and they have heaters inside there. Oh, so you can go there and have drinks there. So in my head, I was like, let's do that. But then I was like, oh, BJ and Amanda aren't drinking age yet. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I'm like, that won't. But that's why I got that the hotel, because it was right next to the Envoy. Right. So I figured, there's so many bars and restaurants in the Seaport District, mm-hmm. and that's why I picked this particular hotel. I got a good deal, but as it turns out, Barry completely.
Yeah,
it's gonna sound a lot cleaner now. The pellet stove just kicked off. Barry really did all the planning, and we went to the North End to R2 for lunch right when we got into town. R2 is a great, has for years has been a go-to for our family.
Where is that located?
Prince Street. And it's on the southern. From Hanover is the main street, right?
Right.
So it's on Prince is perpendicular to Hanover,
right?
And it's on the south side of Prince Street, mm-hmm. from Hanover.
Okay, I used to live on the corner of Prince and Margaret, where you know where Bova Bakery is.
Yeah, that would be the north side, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I used to see a girl that lived on the Christopher Columbus. Condos across from there, and I would stop at Bova Bakery. Would be going 24 hours.
Right, it was.
Oh.
So I had to go to work at 5 o'clock in the morning, but they were open, so I would give her a pat on the ass and head out and get a loaf of bread at Bova and eat it on my way back home to get down to the wharf. Yeah. The North End.
Great.
I mean, if
it's
you
great.
In the North, okay. I don't think you guys could do this, but Kim might be able to do this. If you're, say you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
All right. What would be your top three neighborhoods to live in the city of Boston in your 20s?
Okay, well, I did live in
I know you did, but doesn't necessarily mean that was your favorite.
No,
I mean, you could've.
My top three were the North End and Branch Street on Beacon Hill, which was, I lived in a tiny little carriage house right behind Beacon Street, right on Beacon Hill, and then on Comm Ave. We had a great place on Comm Ave.
So that's two.
And the North End, Margaret Street.
Okay, I asked for three. Mm-hmm.
And the place on Beacon Hill.
And Beacon Hill.
So the
North End. Then you said Comm Ave second, and then Beacon Hill.
No, Beacon Hill second.
Mm-hmm. Beacon Hill second.
And then Comm Ave.
And then Comm Ave.
Yeah.
Mine would be the thing about the North End, the parking situation is so brutal. But they're all brutal. No place that's not brutal.
I didn't
brutal.
Have a car back then.
Right.
So
okay.
It wasn't like that was
that
not
was an part of the consideration.
That wasn't right.
I loved I didn't live in any of them, but I had friends and you know all throughout the thing. I would say North End, Back Bay, Charlestown.
Yeah.
That's the way.
That was super fun.
Yeah, Charlestown.
Yeah.
And they've cleaned up that area around the garden so much.
I know, but it's Boston. It's so different now. It's like
so
different.
Like
as a kid, you could never live there. I mean, it's
today. You mean
today?
I mean, well, you know what? I think it's different, though, because I know what you're saying about how expensive it is, but it's not like one person that's footing the bill. Like it's just like when we were younger. Like there would be like two or three people in an apartment, you know, paying the vig.
I had my own apartment.
You're saying today.
I'm
saying that's how they would do it.
Today. Yeah, today. You know? You'd have to share.
But
least.
When we were back then, we did it that way too. I didn't do it, but all my friends, it was like two or three guys
in an apartment.
You know, until they, you know, met the one. and then they moved off into the suburbs. A lot of them would say,
never doing that.
No, a lot of them say, yeah, no, we're going to have a baby, and we're gonna, they're going to be, you know, city kids. And then, like, after a year or two, they're like, whoop, right to the, right out of the city.
Well, that happened to us. We had one, Liv was ready to start kindergarten, and Alex was a baby, so we moved out.
Yeah.
We were in the South End at that time, and it just wasn't. It was hard getting across town to get to different schools, and it was just the school right around the corner from our house wasn't really good, very good.
So. Yeah. I have a family that went to Boston University, and he loved that area. Matthew, he's living up there all the time. Met the girlfriend, doing her work. She's in Suffolk, and then he went to Suffolk.
Oh,
or with the lawyer.
Yeah,
stuff.
Call him out.
Yeah.
And he's all around that area too. He's just the green line. The green line's his friend.
None of these places are more than a $12 Uber ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. None of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last couple times I've been in town, it's all we've been doing is Ubering here and there. And it's just so easy.
So easy.
You don't even have to take money out of your wallet. You just like press the app. You see when Barry treated everybody at Sorrelina, which is in Copley, and right behind the Boston Public Library. And I hadn't heard of it before, but apparently when Felicia posted photos of where we went, there were so many people had chimed in that was their favorite restaurant.
Oh, really? Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. And it was not inexpensive. Barry really went above and beyond, made it a very special night for Felicia and us too. It was great.
What was your favorite thing that you had to eat? Well, you still had the flu too a little bit.
Huh? Yeah, well, I was just getting past it.
Yeah.
I had the filet and it was fantastic. The wine was probably my favorite. The wine was fabulous. And Barry got the veal. It looked stupid, like, you know, it's one of these places. It's kind of like a Ken Duckworth or kind of meal where the sauces are just perfect in every way. Yeah, so perfect. And the room was gorgeous. The service was spot on. It was just
wonderful.
If you have a special occasion and you're looking for someplace different other than the Morton's or the Grill 23 or something like that, I would highly recommend Sorrelina. Highlight of the night for Felicia, I'm sure, was Barry brought her into Copley to the Louis Vuitton store and had a personal shopper.
Sweet. Oh my gosh.
Said, pick out whatever bag you
have. Are you listening?
And she just started crying. And it was very special for her. And the bag that she picked out, and Kate explained this the most perfectly. If there was 400 bags in that entire place, the one that she picked out, like any one of us, and you said you have to buy a Louis bag for Felicia, which one would it be?
Every one of us would have picked the same bag.
And it was just, so she was just a puddle after that.
Listen to Cape Ann Liquors. You could walk me in there and say,
you can have whatever you want.
I know some of the guys.
You're a doll. You're a real doll.
We can do it for 4 hours.
Barry raised the bar a lot. You know,
you're in trouble now.
Kate and I have had a lot of, you know, stuff with the house, so I don't think that's happening anytime soon.
I know. A wedding down in the islands there, Joey. You know, it's...
Yeah,
I think that puts you back up there. Okay.
Well, we're getting engaged at the crow's nest.
Yeah, I don't know. That's pretty. I don't know.
It's getting engaged at the crow's nest.
Pretty classic.
Go to bring your wife to Louis Vuitton with a personal shopper. Pick out whatever bag you want. I don't know. You know, Kate's a little younger than me. You can't question that she's not in it for the right motives.
Yeah.
Right. That's fantastic. I'm recovering. If you notice, my voice is horrible. I had a colonoscopy on the 4th of January, so that makes it
nine days.
Yeah. I've been sick for 9 days. So the night of my anybody that's had a colonoscopy, you know how brutal the prep is. The colonoscopy itself is a breeze. The prep is the full day of taking these diuretics and flushing your system. What I didn't realize is how much it was going to knock the shit out of me. And I got a fever that night, a bad fever. And I just feel, I haven't felt like my immune system is caught up yet.
Probably hasn't.
No, I don't think so. Are you you're taking probiotics? That's what I was told
I'm
to
taking
do.
Probiotics. Yeah. I am, but I'm also in the process of, I'm taking like Sudafed, Benadryl.
Oh,
with that. You know, all this other stuff. You know, trying to, like, my head is just...
Yeah.
Just I've just started to be able to wake up in the morning and not be completely congested.
Yeah,
it's like whatever. That's I don't want to talk about it too much, but they took out one large polyp, and they haven't got the results yet on that. And then
you
two small
ones. Haven't
gotten
the results yet.
Not yet.
No.
Soon, I think. Okay. And two small polyps. So you know, you have to go. You know, I don't want people to say, "Oh, you don't discourage people from going in." You have to go. Especially when you turn 50 and you get everything checked out, because it's one of those, they say it's one of the cancers that's the easiest to detect early on,
right,
and to, you know,
right,
defeat, yep, if you happen to have cancer. But yeah, it sucked. The prep. Oh, goodness gracious. I wish there was something else.
Yeah.
Jimmy, Chris wanted us to call in. Are you ready? Oh, he's got the bat phone. Jimmy's got the bat phone. We're going to call Chris McCarthy right now.
Wow.
Everybody, brace yourself.
I'm glad you're on the mend anyways.
I am on the mend.
I do think it takes a while, to get better.
Yeah.
Right
there. Let me see.
Good morning.
There he is.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Glossy.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Happy birthday, everybody.
You are
morning,
live
Chris.
And speaking from my phone. So behave.
No, that's fine. I'll behave. I'm just sitting here in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
So if there's an echo.
Well, listen.
I apologize to all the listeners.
Joey's been pretty sick, and we're now doing the podcast from the bathroom, too. So don't worry about it.
That he's taken from Mexico. he thinks his CBS is freaking Mexico.
They won't.
Joe, you gotta get away from that stuff, man.
Do you think I should bring that up, Chris? You think that's a topic that I should bring up or not?
What is CBS?
I had to do it for my son a few years ago when we were in Turks and Caicos. We had to get him some medication in a little baggie. You got to make sure there's a distinction between drugs and medication.
So I went in. You know, I had this flu, chills,
right,
and everything else.
Right.
And I went the following day to talk to them about my symptoms, and you're definitely sick and stuff like that. And they're like, go home and take some Benadryl, you know, and some Sudafed.
Yeah.
So I'm taking the Benadryl and the Sudafed's not touching it, you know, and I'm waking up with green snots, yellow snots, like I can't breathe.
Sounds like what Charlotte has.
So I bring, so when I go to Mexico, I bring home Zithromax because you can buy it over the counter there. And it dawned on me, I'm like, fuck it, I'm taking, they won't prescribe antibiotics. The doctors won't prescribe antibiotics nowadays.
Right,
because,
for a cold, right.
For colds or something like that, because they say.
It makes your immune system less effective. What's all that noise?
What is going on over there? What's going on over in Stanwood Point or whatever it is?
Did you already go to Mexico?
I just got through going to the bathroom, and I go to my kitchen, and I'm trying to scramble up some powdered eggs.
Ew, powdered eggs, really?
Yeah, you know, this time of the year.
He's on this psychotic diet.
You gotta eat powdered eggs.
He's doing like a keto diet.
Oh.
But Joe, I think you should tell your listeners why you got sick. Wasn't your proctologist feeling ill as well during the procedure?
Was he?
No.
Oh, he wasn't?
No.
Oh, I thought he was. So, Joe, I wanted to share with your listeners a few things that I found interesting this past week and a half about the lobster industry. Thought, you know, you might be investment in really trying to sell Gloucester seafood.
Yeah, Safathia. Yeah, ever since Safathia got became mayor, she has assembled a team. Mark Ring is on that team. Sal DiStefano is on that team.
Yeah,
and they, you know, Gloucester is such a huge fishing port. This seafood show is enormous.
It is.
Have you been?
Yes. Yeah. So the first year that she was involved, not since. It was awesome that first year.
Sorry about that.
What is going on, Chris?
So, is it?
So, would you forget the flush? What?
It's this huge thing, but Gloucester really half-assed their presentation in this intercontinental seafood show. I mean, people come from all over the world. It's massive.
It's a big deal.
They're not half-assing there. It's getting better and better since
Safathia got on board, she put an enormous team, financial resources.
Right.
Bodies on the ground. They cook there.
Yeah. Nobody else does that. They have big pots of seafood stew there.
Yeah. I think it's paying off. Yeah. I mean, it's bringing.
Hey, that's an added thing, Chris. Good job.
Yeah, and the good thing is it's open to the public. Yeah. So I think Good Morning Gloucester and the staff, Joe should rent a stretch limo, and we should go right into Boston. And
you know something, you can buy tickets, and I bet you that through the promotion that we do, I bet you we could get a couple of tickets from Safathia if we go in and we.
Yeah, well,
you know, we could do, Chris. We could go there and we could live interview people from the Gloucester booth.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be fun? And there's a ton of food too.
You know,
I know a couple of people in the lobster industry. I might be able to get some tickets.
You know, tell Chris that the. At the first one, it was so successful, Safathia brought back a whole team, a whole group of people from Japan and Iceland, and they all had lunch at the Gloucester House, and you know, went toured the facilities.
They took it to the next level. They arranged for buses for all these anyone from all these international companies would come. Get on the bus, and then they'd take a tour around all the seafood facilities that wanted to participate in Gloucester to show how much capacity there is available here to do business and the types of fish that we have. Yeah,
that's cool.
It was next level thinking. It really was.
Hopefully this year we highlight our coyote fish. We have an abundance of our coyote fish.
In the
let's sell it to China.
Yeah.
So the second thing, Joe, is our good friend Bruce Ta. I know he was on your show not too long ago. I read that he is sponsoring some legislation that will allow for, lobster. I'm forgetting the
lobster processing.
Lobster processing here in Gloucester, because I didn't realize, again, as sort of an outsider moving to Gloucester, that the lobster caught in Gloucester go outside of Massachusetts to be processed, and then it's brought back in. And I thought that was the silliest thing. I know it's an archaic law, but the fact that Bruce has got that on the radar, I think that would be a great thing for Massachusetts and obviously Gloucester.
I think that the law, and I think the reason that it isn't, I think, and I'm not positive about this. It has to do with this law that was put in a long time ago to prohibit poaching of undersized lobsters.
Oh,
so lobsters have to be shipped whole.
Okay.
If they're alive in Massachusetts. If they took the tails off and cooked them, you'd never be able to measure them legally.
Right, legally.
So I think that was the reason
why it was created.
I'm not positive, but I think that's what it was.
Well, that's interesting. Well, that was the first bill that was put forth in the Senate this year, and it was by Senator Carr.
Bruce didn't take a vacation. He's right at it, like he usually is.
I think it's awesome legislation, don't you? I mean, don't you? Are the lobstermen? The lobster must be super.
Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
It hasn't happened already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Chris, he
what's that, Joe?
No, it's Jim. When he said that he came up and he spent that time with us on that podcast. He did say he was going to try and help out Joey's office and all the situation. So maybe if this bill does go through, some money can go aside to fix up some of these things.
Yeah, maybe there's a portion of that bill that can be carved out, you know, like $1,000 for Joe to buy new chairs in his office.
You did bring that up.
Fisherman's wives will get it. Don't worry. They're already in line.
Yeah.
They'll figure out a way to get it.
And then the last thing, Joe, is the Swiss implemented a law that prohibits people from boiling live lobsters. They have to be stunned before they are boiled. And I found that to be very, very odd.
Leave it to the Swiss.
People do. If I buy lobsters and I bring them home, I have to stun them first before I boil them. And that's a law in Switzerland. So for those lobster lovers, Don't move to Switzerland.
Yeah, and how do you stun them? Do you have to buy a stun gun or something?
Joe actually, he referenced when I brought this up to him the other day that when he was at the Seafood Expo a year or two ago, there are companies out there that actually make these machines.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they look like a microwave. You put the lobster in it, you press a button, it zaps them,
Yep. Puts
them to sleep, doesn't kill them, puts them to sleep. And right, then, Joe? They're not killed.
Yeah.
They just...
Yeah, it stuns them.
Really,
It's the most ridiculous thing in the fucking world.
Yeah. Wow.
Aren't
the Swiss the crazy people who didn't want American lobsters in the first over there in the first place? Because they said that they were...
inhumanely kept or something.
No, that they were... in case any got away, then they would... dominate over lobsters to that area, and then so that was they were trying to get American lobsters banned.
Invasive species.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They should stick to chocolate and Swiss cheese.
And maybe a watch or two.
Exactly. That's all I have. I would say next time, give Ralph and I more than 2 minutes to get ready for the podcast.
I didn't know that Kate was leaving so early, because that was what my determining factor was, that I didn't want to disturb her at the house. I need to note we picked in the podcast that I didn't record yesterday.
Yeah.
Our picks, we have two of the results in. Because there was two games yesterday.
Oh, you did
yesterday.
the game pick?
Chris and I both took the Colts, and Craig also took the Colts. Ralph was the only one that took Kansas City, so he was and this is against the spread. So Ralph won that one, and Chris took the Rams, and Ralph took the Rams. Craig and I took the Cowboys, and Chris and Ralph won. So you're one and one, and Ralph is 2-0. I'm 0-2, and Craig is 0-2. So
nice.
So I can't possibly win at this point.
No. But sorry to hear that, Joe.
You and Ralph are in the running, though. So
yeah.
For tonight, Craig is the only one that took the Chargers. Chris, Ralph, and I took the Pats, and Ralph took the Ralph, Chris, and I took the Eagles, and Craig took New Orleans.
How are the Pats doing? How are they doing?
Well, they earned a first round bye in the playoffs. Today is the first game that win or go home. So they need to,
Tom Brady's hurt, though. I got ESPN on right here. Tom Brady.
He's such an asshole. All right.
He took
some powdered eggs
from Mexico.
Yeah, enjoy those powdered eggs.
You know, Chris, some people put their radio on and listen to NPR. We're listening to CPR report. We'll see you, Chris. Thank you.
There it
happy
is.
Happy birthday, everybody.
Bye.
Chris got some applause right there.
You didn't finish your story about Zithromax.
Oh, I didn't?
No. So did you take it, or?
Yes. So I did take it.
Did it help?
And yes, the very next day I had relief and just got better and better.
Wow.
So it's, you know, I know the doctors don't want to prescribe it, but
they don't want to
over prescribe it. I get it. Right. I get it. But I mean, I was dying. I was in, I was in a lot of pain. So whatever, I'll deal with the consequences of that. Resolutions. Did anybody make any resolutions?
No. I did. I'm going to go to Pratties this year.
Yeah, that's his.
Why would you go to Pratties if you're an Elks member?
Yeah,
just to try it.
The culture.
Because I keep saying I want to go.
It's always crowded. I've never been. It's always crowded there when you drive.
Well, I want to go, and I feel that they will figure it out. That they'll see a New York somehow. Maybe it's written on my forehead. So I always wanted to go, and I just said to Pat, my New Year's resolution is to go to Pratties.
Yeah. Right. Do you have a New Year's resolution?
I don't. I have a lot of stuff coming up this year.
Right, that you want to get done.
So
right.
I have, you know, getting married. And our trips, and I can't wait to get on our trips. And
When do your trips start? When does that start?
February.
February.
March and April and May. You know.
Okay.
But you know, I have to pack them in because I don't get to the rest of the year. It's all work.
You can't. I guess around New Year's, you can't really help but think about what's past and looking forward to what's coming. So you kind of can evaluate where you stand and make some plans and target some goals. And I didn't make any specific resolutions. I stopped doing that a long time ago. But
you have some big goals that you want to take care of.
Down the road kinds of things.
What big goals do you have in regards to Good Morning Gloucester?
Well, in regards to Good Morning Gloucester.
How's this going to impact me?
Yeah. I don't know. I want to go hunt moose up in Maine. That might possibly have an impact.
Is there any research projects that you
I've got research projects piled up, you know, as high as I stand, that I'm working on. Brick walls trying to break through, different little nitpicking things, just trying to track.
What volunteer opportunities are you planning on tackling this year?
I was just thinking about that. It's funny you should ask. I think I'll go back to the Stage 4 Park and volunteer at the Welcome Center. I enjoyed that very much. And the stage, I enjoyed that time as well. I didn't get to do either of those for a very long time this year, so it's like ended up and joining them late in the game, but both of those. And then I think I'm going to talk to the library people and they have paperwork and everything you got to fill out to volunteer down there. Right. But really like to do that.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
All those sound great.
Yeah.
How about you, Kim? Anything like that? Any goals for projects?
My big huge projects right now are let's see. I just met with several film finishers last week, and so we start. I'm waiting for the budget from one to come, and so I hope to get started on the final edits.
Oh, that's exciting.
This coming week. That'll take I'm hoping it'll take about 6 weeks. Because, you know, like, my voice is the narrator right now, and so if we're going to keep mine, then we have to re-record it in a real studio and stuff instead of me just, you know, talking into my movie phone, my movie camera, you know, stuff like that. So, and then I'm working on three things about the Piping Plovers. I'm working on developing a program because I think that's something I can do right away that I think is really needed by communities, is like my Monarch Butterfly program, which will just help build an awareness about it. Mm. And so I have about...
And no one else is doing that. So there'd be, there's other butterfly people out there, even though you're the preeminent butterfly person, but the piping plovers.
There's not a lot of programs about that. I mean, there are, but I have some ideas, and so that entails I'm going through about 40,000 photos right now.
Wow!
And I'm trying to get rid of a whole bunch of photos so that I can
narrow it down even further.
Yeah, so that I can transfer my whole photo library to an external hard drive and just run it off my external hard drive, so I'm not constantly jamming up my regular computer. Mm-hmm. And then, so there's the three components to that. There's the program, there's a children's storybook, and then there's a film script.
Are you hopeful that your movie will be produced in 2018?
Yes, I'm very hopeful about that.
And released?
Released, yeah. I'm very hopeful about that.
I guess that's the word I was looking for, yeah.
And that, excellent. Well, that's a good segue because the Cape Ann Museum has invited me to premiere it there. And do you want to talk about Catherine's thing right now?
Yeah, please. Please do.
Because she has, I think, I don't know how much we've talked about it, but yeah. Everybody should go see the, it's just so beautifully curated. Bring your kids to see the Cape Ann Reed show at the Cape Ann Museum. Catherine did a beautiful job. There's lots of fun activities for the kids surrounding the exhibit. Yesterday was Cape Ann Museum Kids Day, and that was the focus of it. And there's a nice bunch of kids who participated, and it's just really...
It looks very exciting. We haven't been over there yet.
Yeah, it's very awesome. It's wonderful to see this, this little seed of an idea to get these four libraries participating in this children's book and book writing and illustration program and to see it come to what it is. But it's only just the beginning. It's going to travel to other libraries, and she's gotten great funding from the Bruce J. Anderson Foundation, and she's just real, Catherine's, I think she's coming into her own around here. Like, a lot of people don't know what she did before, you know what I mean? Like, she had, Babar, the children's storybook Babar, of course.
Yeah,
I'm sure you know that.
Of course.
I mean, she was his... she created shows for that illustrator. I mean, she's really done some very,
she's big time.
She's got a special set of skills.
Yeah, she really, it is very unique,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
To a curator is a very interesting skill set.
Like that movie, what is it? I think it's a Liam Neeson movie. I have a very special set of skills. Taken? I think it's Taken.
Probably Taken, yeah.
I have a very special set of skills. Catherine does as well.
Yeah, she does too.
I just want to play. I'd like to get into a band up here,
Why don't you do the one with James? Every Wednesday night?
I've talked to him about that.
But I'm more of a...
You want to be the rock and roll one. You want to be down the rum line with the girls throwing their panties on the stage.
You want to be...
Well, it's on a horn. I don't know how with the hook on my trumpet. I wouldn't be the first time that's happened. But
hey!
My family listens to this. So.
Have you talked to David Benjamin or anything like that?
I think once I get myself developed here...
David Benjamin is this super awesome person who is so involved with the music scene here. He's a band director at the school, I believe. He also does, he's in charge of the band at the band shows at the Stageport Park.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, I would kill to play with the Dots. They're good. I like to play with them, if not direct them.
So he's awesome.
And I want to coach. I wouldn't mind coaching up here. Mm. Or helping. I can't say I coach, but I could
add coach, to the Corey coach thing.
Is Corey approved?
Oh, I don't know about
the Corey check.
That's a thing that I don't. Don't they have that in New York?
Yes, they do. Yeah, they do.
They do have it in New York. He doesn't know what it is.
It's called something different.
Oh, okay.
Background check.
Oh, background check.
Oh, yeah.
For working with kids.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, they have to fingerprint you too.
In New York, you do.
Oh, yeah, I've never had that experience.
Stop looking at me. I passed.
Did you guys go to the Willow Rest for Ian's?
We did. We went over to. I saw the notice that Ian was having a coffee tasting at the Willow Rest yesterday, so we stopped over there. And
isn't that a great place?
Said hello. Oh yeah, and another place we haven't been to in a while. I said we went in for coffee tasting and came out
with piles
a loaf of bread, some snacks,
the
some
tea loaves,
apple
so
ciders. Yeah. Medical something or another probably Joey could take advantage of, and a bag of coffee. And I also had ordered online from the EIEIO roasters, and it came quick and it was easy.
Oh,
and
great.
Yeah.
He says hello.
We said hello.
And once again, he thanks you for.
Yeah.
You know,
he spoke very highly of.
How many sample packs did he send out with?
I must have left it in the car. There was quite a bit of interest going from the customers there and people stopping in.
What are your goals for?
I'd like to
2019, at least the first half before your wedding. And
the whole wedding thing is really kind of
it's very.
going to be exciting for me.
Yeah.
I can't wait to do that part and actually make Kate my official wife. I was calling her my wife, but make her my official wife.
Having the kids there too with you, that's...
Yeah. Oh, we got a great trip. You know, and thankfully for Kate's job, they're taking care of, you know, quite a bit of the trip, of our Mexico trip with the kids in April. So
we were really
blessed. My eldest is turned into a teenager.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
She's 13.
Yeah.
Wow.
Middle schooler now.
Oh boy.
It's like a different person.
Yes.
A whole different person. I lost my little girl. She's gone.
Yeah.
And it's like I guess I have to wait till she's.
Wait until she's
college.
About. I was going to say they come. 20, they come 21. Back. They
yeah,
come back.
That's what everybody yeah, they come says. Back. You know, everybody warns you.
And you don't believe it when people are warning you.
Well, I can't. So many people said it.
Oh yeah.
But I kind of did believe it. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have any illusions like mm-hmm. mine's. You know, the people that have illusions like mine's different. Mine's. You know.
They get really shocked.
Yeah.
And the other thing they always say that's hard to swallow is it's actually good for them. It's a good sign for their development.
Right. Because they're being independent.
Right. They're learning to be independent.
To be a fucking sassy pants.
No, that is. That's testing boundaries.
Right, that's
and
testing boundaries. I don't fucking test the fucking boundaries, too.
Well, it's part of the process.
Wait till the boundaries that she's going to. She's going to test some boundaries.
Whenever I see my mom is like, Mom, I don't know how you did it. Three girls a year apart.
I would like to read a book, like, but I think that there's no book for this. I think
you just have to,
how do you deal with?
Just be very patient. Just that's really? How you can be.
Really?
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's easier to say to be patient. I mean, there were plenty of times when I would be screaming. So I mean, it's easy to say be patient, but the more patient you are, the more they will respect you later.
Yeah.
And that is the truth. That is the truth. I've always been a
let's have an awesome time. Let's laugh. Let's have a blast. As long as you're doing the right things. And when you fuck up, I'm going to climb up your ass.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fair.
Yeah, and let somebody know, but,
there's two ways we can go.
Yeah.
If you think you're gonna make my life miserable, you're gonna get twice back. Or immediately you can act the right way, and we're all gonna have a great time. It's simple. Take your pick.
That works.
That's the point.
Right.
The point was when they were little.
Right.
I was like, wow, I got this. I'm super dad. I got this all figured out.
And
just
got
to have a good time. And if they get off the path, and get a very short leash, tell them, listen, straighten up. We're going to have a great day. Bah, bah, bah. Now it's like, I have a feeling.
No, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work that way.
What was your rebellious period like?
Self-absorbed jackass of a teen.
I think it's a little different for boys than it is for girls, for one thing.
Yeah, well.
I was also awkward as a teen. I think a lot of teens are probably awkward.
They feel it, even if they don't appear to be, they feel like they are.
They feel that, like,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I don't know, whatever. She's doing great, though, in school still, and she's got a ton of friends, and she's...
So that's
doing a lot of great things. I'm just irritated that I don't have my little girl anymore.
Yeah, and, I know.
You know, she can get a little sassy. And,
yeah.
Like in a not a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I want
to send her. Oh, goodness. Anyway.
Well, we've all just been there and come out the other side.
And I can take it away.
You what?
Just try the line. I gave you that gene and I can take it away.
Yeah. I don't know. You guys went to Mom's Kitchen for breakfast?
We did.
Today?
Yesterday.
Oh, I'm dying to go there.
Yesterday.
They had a lot of home good cooking.
I went to chicken pot pie.
We got there at about...
Speaking of chicken pot pie, Dave, my mother's cousin, is married to Dave, the guy that owns Mom's Kitchen. They own it. And Kate mentioned that she makes a pretty mean chicken pot pie. So he dropped one off the other day. I'm going to cook it today.
Oh.
And they kind of have a little chicken pot pie challenge.
I think we had some of Kate's chicken pot pie at the dock one way. It was really good.
Really good, yeah. It's going to be tough to beat. So I haven't had his yet. We're gonna cook it today. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, it was very quiet in there. We got there not long before they were going to close.
About 12:30.
They had breakfast. They were serving breakfast all day.
What time did they serve breakfast till?
It was all day. Yesterday, which was Saturday. Oh, okay. So. And they close at 1. And I think they only serve breakfast on Sunday.
There's a sign on the outside.
Anyway, Jim had a meatloaf omelet, which I've never seen before.
It was one of their specials. I said I gotta try it.
Yeah, and I had the frittatas.
Yeah, there was something in there, some nice sauce or something on the meatloaf that was really tasty.
Mm-hmm.
And I said,
service was good. It was an easy stop by. We hadn't been there, so we're taking some things off the bucket list. That was fun. We'll be back.
There you go.
That was a nice spot.
Yeah.
Thanks to Chris for that recommendation.
Chris McCarthy or Chris at the dog?
Chris,
the fisherman, the lobsterman.
Yeah.
So yesterday morning, it was probably 8 in the morning, I was still in bed at the Intercontinental after Felicia's birthday, and I get a text from Craig that... So, I always, you've seen posts in the past when Kingsford is on sale, like super sale. They have 3 super sales a year, Labor Day, 4th of July, and Memorial Day. And I usually stock up.
In case our listeners don't know, Kingsford is charcoal briquettes, right?
Yes, there we go.
Yeah.
Good thinking.
Yeah. So, it's good thinking.
It took me by surprise. Kingsford.
So I obviously... If you follow this, you know that I love to barbecue with charcoal. And so I load up when they're on sale. Well, I don't generally buy Weber brand briquettes because they're $20 a bag. And when I buy the Kingsford on sale, I'm buying it for $5 a bag.
Okay.
So $20 to $5. Even though the Kingsford is far superior... Like denser, longer lasting, more uniform.
The Kingsford or the Weber?
The Weber is
far superior.
So far superior, also $20 compared to
$5.
So and even when the Weber goes on sale, usually it goes down to like $12.
Right.
Which so 12 to 5
is still not,
is still right. not enough still for me to jump. Like if Weber was
six or seven.
Yeah. I would purchase that over the Kingsford, but I hadn't been able to take advantage of that type of sale yet.
Right.
Craig texts me in the morning. They have 70. I have secured 70 bags for us at the Salem Home Depot and the Danvers Home Depot. We have to go to 2 different places.
This is right. I've done that before with Home Depots.
Because they were on sale for $3.90 a bag.
What? Oh my!
$3.90.
Now, why is that? Do they go bad until they?
They don't go bad. I think that it has to do.
They want to clear their inventory.
They're not gonna,
with having the space to sell other goods.
Other things, right?
Like that pallet space.
They take up a lot of space.
Can be used for perennials or whatever the hell it happens to be.
Spring, right.
And that has to be dry, but. Charcoal has to be dry, so it has to be indoor storage. You know, you can't leave it outside. So we loaded up. So we went up there.
How many fit in your truck? Did all 70?
So we put 20-pound bags in the back of my truck on a pallet, and we had it shrink wrapped, and I drove very slowly back home.
Yeah.
We were gonna go get the other bags, but
it was heavy enough.
It was the bed went down quite a bit, so I didn't want to risk it and everything else. So we tape this podcast, we're going back.
You're going back,
to get the other.
I'm imagining Craig called them, and I'm trying to imagine this phone call. So how many bags would you let me leave?
That's exactly. That's exactly what he did. And he wanted to secure them because he recognized how good of a deal it was that they weren't going to last. They're probably gone today, other than we already paid for those ones.
Right.
Well, since 50 fit in, you can get more if there's still more there.
They wouldn't. So they wouldn't They wouldn't let him. He called a bunch of stores. The only ones that we got them secured and paid for were two out of some other ones.
They wouldn't let you.
Right.
So we got a really good deal. Do you guys take like on items that you know you're going to use over the year when they're on sale? Like for example.
Oh yeah.
Say deodorant is 2-for-1.
Like, yes.
You know what I mean?
How many?
And you know you're almost out. How many would you buy?
I'd buy like 10.
Right, that's what I would do. How about you know what
I
mean? Same
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, yeah. I stock up when there's an opportunity on something I know I'm going to use. I mean,
but you know what's super annoying is then suppose you go to the grocery store after they've had one of those sales, and there's none. It's a brand that you like, and there's none on the shelf. Oh, right, but you know, I'm just as guilty as the next person of taking. You know,
you gotta take advantage. Right. Well, that's free money.
It's free. That's how
now
I
it
too.
Makes sense to us because now with the two places we have, we're at that point now where we can go. Well, let's buy all that and have it walk there, and half goes here.
Yeah.
Then we don't have to worry about the old packing a bag when it's time to go and whatever.
Smart.
We just
jump
in the car.
Jump in the car because you have everything there and everything here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're working on right now.
Right.
And it works so far.
Easy. Nice. Easy.
Yeah. So Kim got me that beautiful bottle of rye from, was it the rye?
Rye and Wood.
No, it was like... something. Was it rye? I don't know. Was their fancy new thing?
Was their fancy new whiskey? Was their whiskey? Oh, is there no? Is there malt barley
yeah, yeah,
whiskey?
Something. Malt whiskey, right? Is it malt?
At Ryan and Woods, and she asked me if she came for the podcast. I hadn't seen her for a couple of weeks, and she says, "Oh, have you tried it yet?" And I'm ashamed that I haven't tried
it. No, don't be ashamed.
And
you've been sick anyway.
I have been sick. Yep. Well, I did manage to drink some of that.
Well,
I found a bottle of the Kilbrin.
Right. Yes, thank you. I needed to take note of that, and it's right next to the tissues and underneath the daisies, so I think it's particularly picturesque right there.
It's on sale at Total.
Oh, okay.
Did you try, as a cold remedy, did you try any liquor to see if that worked?
Well, yesterday we got Ted Reed brought some of that Bullet Rye. It was really nice, but anyway, the point that I was getting at was, I have this issue that like, really nice bottles of booze, I tend to like, have some problem cracking it. I feel like it should just be saved and.
Yeah. Do you look at them? Do you display them?
No, I like tuck them away. It's
okay, so you don't want to share.
No,
you know what? I think I said this earlier. It's not like wine where it's going to go bad.
Well,
just
we had that for the Red Sox World Series win.
Mm-hmm.
I took out the Tullamore Dew.
Tullamore Dew, yeah. I crack that stuff open. I can't wait to crack that stuff open.
So
just try it.
What is that?
That's what I always
what
do.
Is it?
Which one?
The one you're talking about. Tell us something.
Oh, it's not up
that's
there
not
right
here.
Now.
That's the Red
it's
Sox
a, it's
edition
Irish whiskey.
Of this Irish whiskey that Craig brought the summer and we... I said, I'm
favorites.
Not going to do it unless we're in a World Series clinching game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time we'll drink that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you did.
So. And we did, yeah.
Yep.
You did, wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's very special.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I don't have do you have a theory or do you just say, if whatever the best stuff that you have, you just drink it right off the bat? You don't save it for special occasions?
I don't save it. It's there if you see... a special occasion, but it's with special friends. You say, you know what, I think we're going to open that bottle
up. Yeah, but I'm in charge of the liquor cabinet at our house.
Yes.
And he is not.
Right. Well, you know,
I always have 20 people over. You know,
yeah,
it's never like
yeah.
two or three
yeah.
guys here.
Right, so.
So I open it up, it's like I had one little sip of it, and
it's
gone.
Gone.
I think that's
right.
what it is.
Yeah, oh,
that's
yeah,
right.
yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got a $50 bottle of wine, you already put out $200 worth of food,
yeah.
and you're like,
yeah.
oh, you had this much, and like, oh, the bottle's gone.
You know that nice bottle of Prosecco that you gave me for Christmas? Well, I was saving that for Tom and I because it was right around the time of our anniversary, and Liv was there, and she just popped it open with everything else that you gave us. We just had
barbecue.
Like a little...
The G&G party, the barbecue. We put out...
You brought that awesome
the Buffalo Trace.
My Buffalo Trace, yeah. Mm-hmm. Buffalo Trace.
We brought it out there, I mean, by the fire and the barbecue. That's the best way to have it. That didn't last long.
That didn't last long.
I now know.
No, it's a $30 bottle, though. Like, I'm talking like when you get like a $50, $60 bottle.
Like the Cooper's Crows that I brought to the party.
Cooper's Crows.
Yeah.
Did I try the Cooper's Crows?
I don't remember.
Wait, you brought that to the GMG party?
I did.
And I was only drinking the boat.
What the hell? Yeah. Lots of people did try it. I did.
Chris tried it and a few other guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's that. So it is January 13th, and going almost on cue to the winter of 2015 when we had that horrendous winter. We hadn't had any big snow until the third week in January, and then it just kept coming. And I remember saying the day before that big snow was, wow, we've pretty much made it. It's all we have is a couple of months left. And
we got hammered.
Wasn't Snowmageddon last year? Wasn't it kind of the same where we just had a little tiny bit of snow and then we just kept getting piled
until
last year?
It was so late last year.
Last year,
I feel like it was too bad last year.
Last year was the record.
Yeah.
Of snow?
In March.
No, it mostly came in March. It was the record since they've been keeping the record. It was like 108 inches last year or something like that. Yeah.
My memory
is that bad, I guess, because the snow didn't register with me last year.
It was March. Weren't you away some of that time?
I probably was away, but I mean, that 2015, I remember that year.
Yeah.
I remember nonstop shoveling. I remember the snow being over our head, like our cars were dug into channels in driveways because there was no place left to put the snows. Last year, I don't remember any of that.
I remember from home watching that happen that year, and it was horrible.
I think I posted some pictures of that recently on Good Morning Gloucester, and it really was over our heads.
And I think there were piles of snow.
In 2015, our front entranceway, like one snowstorm, it was like to our heads. And then later that day, it was like over our heads.
And I think we came in the spring that year like we always did. And there's a big pile of snow at the park. I think it was at Stagecourt Park. And it was still not.
It wasn't going anywhere.
It wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
We should look that up, though. But I think 2015 was a big snowy year. And last year, I believe, was the record of snow.
Let's see.
I'll bet you if you take March out of that loop, it wouldn't have been.
Yearly snow totals, Gloucester, Mass. Let's see.
Does that come up in a graph or something? That sounds like the Jeopardy music.
That's exactly
what it is. You win. I can name that category.
I think my husband should be a contestant on it.
He'd be great.
He'd be really good. He knows. He has so many facts in his head.
I wouldn't mind Wants to Be a Millionaire, phone a friend.
Yeah.
What was that?
You know, like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and you phone a friend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind being the friend once in a while on certain topics.
Yeah. Yeah.
But 2018.
So one of the reasons the snow totals came up is because earlier we were talking about the full moon and lunar eclipse coming up next week. Perhaps there may be a snowstorm coming at the light.
I know that would stay.
It might impede viewing,
It would be awfully nice to see it.
Yeah, that would be too bad.
Mm. Well, maybe, you just need a little window of clear skies.
Right.
So maybe, are you finding the snow totals?
Ah, forget it. I'm not going to find it.
I think I just put a graph up about it on Good Morning Gloucester.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so I should look for that?
Yeah, it was. El Nino, La Nina. Put that in.
After we had that discussion.
Yeah, after we had that discussion. Let's see.
All right, El Nino.
Let's chat because we're dead air time.
I can't find it. Anyway, we're coming up on an hour. This will be our first time going with the slow fade out. And here is the exit music. We're still talking.
Okay.
And now we're going to say goodbye. Say goodbye, everybody.
Say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody.